1, verse number 26, the word of the Lord says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Again, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Well, notice verse 27 as well. "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the word of the Lord. Genesis 1:1 teaches and says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Without him was nothing made that was made," according to John 1 and 3. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth and are invisible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands." Revelation 4 and 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I want to say this morning that God made everything that was made, and without him was nothing made that was made. We know that to be true. And this word "created" that we find in the scriptures is a word that means immediate creation. In other words, from nothing, he made something. He created it, and he not only took the materials that were available to him. Oh no. You see, that's what man does. We take materials that someone else has created, and with them we make something else. But God immediately made these things. In other words, from nothing, with no materials with which to work, nothing with which to work, he made everything that we see out of nothing. Boy, I'm thankful he's that kind of God, aren't you? And he is the creator of all things. And just as he created everything, he also made a man. He made us in his own image and in his own likeness. He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our own likeness." And in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." And so God made everything, and God made man. I want to say, friend, he made us in creation. He made us in the beginning in creation. He made us in conversion. And he will make us new in resurrection. Amen. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will hit me on this thought, the making of a man. The making of a man. I used to hear the old timers when I was just a boy. They'd say, "Some of these days, son, you're going to make a man." And I thought to myself, it's not like making an ice cream. You can't just put the ingredients in a cup and stir it up and freeze it. I mean, friend, you got some of the old timers that say, "I hear tell you're making a preacher." Well, I don't know what it takes to make a preacher either. It's not like making a cake. But I'll tell you, God makes a man. Amen. The making of a man is what I'm preaching about this morning. I want to say God is what makes a man. First of all, friend, I want to say the sovereign made a man. The sovereign God of the universe made a man. In our text in Genesis 1 and 26, he made us in his likeness and in his image. Isaiah 43 and 7 says of man, "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And now he talked about in Isaiah the gods of this world. He said that they were made of stone and of wood and of my friend of precious metals, but they were formed by the hands of man. But I'm glad I'm not serving a God whom I made, but I'm serving the God that made me. Amen. The sovereign made a man. One fellow said, "Preacher, you mean you don't believe in the evolutionary theories?" I had one of my relatives say it this way. "I had forefathers that hung from their neck, but none of them ever hung from their tails." Amen. Thank God. I want to tell you, God made man in his own image and in his own likeness. We are fearfully and wonderfully made.
We are God's property. He created us. We're His, my friend. God made man, and He made us for His glory. He made us for His fellowship. He made us to walk with Him and to talk with Him. He made us to know Him in His likeness and in His image. Oh, He spoke, and the worlds came into existence. He spoke, and the fish were in the sea. He spoke, and the trees were on the land. He spoke, and the beasts of the field walked, my friend, the fields on four legs. But out of the dust of the ground, He formed man and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life. And man became a living soul in the image and likeness of God. The devil like you to believe that you're nothing more than an animal of the field. And when man's dead and gone, he's just like a fly. And he perishes and is no more. But we're made in the image and likeness of God. And we've had visited upon us the breath of the living God. And we have a soul that's eternal. And like God, you're going to live on one way or another in eternity. God made a man. The sovereign made a man. Psalms 103 said, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." One fellow said, "I'm a self-made man." There is no such thing as a self-made man. Everybody in here has got a mama and a daddy and a God in heaven that gave you the breath of life. Amen. There are no self-made men. I'll tell you, outside the grace of God, you could wake up in the morning and not know your name. Amen. That's right. Oh yes. You could be strong enough to pull a tree out of the ground today and not have strength to lift your head by morning. Amen. I tell you, there are no self-made men. There are no self-sufficient men. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. The sovereign made a man. Amen. Oh, man is here on earth by the providential working of a sovereign God. He's not here by chance. He's not here by an unexplainable explosion in the solar system or as a natural development of my friend from orangutans. I thank God He is here by the providential working of a sovereign God. Oh, yes, that's right. Well, thank God. I want to say the sovereign made a man. Secondly, I want to say sin made a man. Amen. You see, God took man and put him in a garden of great paradise. Genesis 2 and 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and He put the man, and there He put the man whom He had formed. God put him in a garden of great paradise. And He told him, He said, "You can take of any of the trees and eat of all the trees except for one." And with one and only commandment. Did you know the only commandment God gave Adam was just what tree he could eat from? I mean, He didn't have 10 commandments. He didn't have 530 something thou shalt. Thou shalt not, touch not, taste not, handle not. He didn't have all those things that we have in the Word of God. All He had was one commandment. Eat of all the trees you world except for one tree. Now He had a lot of them that were the right tree and only one that was the wrong tree. But even with one commandment, only one commandment from the Lord, Adam could not be found faithful. And my friend, he broke the one commandment that God gave him. He could not be trusted with one commandment. If Adam, who had no sin nature, could not be trusted with one commandment, what makes you think that you or me with the sin nature can be trusted with all the commandments? Amen. You can't live it, friend, good enough to be saved. And I'm getting off track, but I'm preaching right. You can't live straight enough to be right with God. It'll take the help of the Lord. He gave him a commandment, one commandment, and he broke the one commandment that he had. And not only then had the sovereign made a man, that sin had made a man. What did it make him, preacher? Well, I'll say, has sin made him naked? Amen. Has sin made him naked? Genesis 3 and 7 said, after they took the fruit and they knew that they were naked, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. And now they'd been naked all along. Before he was naked, but he didn't know it. Therefore, he was not held accountable for his nakedness. But sin exposed him to accountability. Has sin exposed him to judgment? Sin made him naked before the Lord. I want to tell you, that's where we all are, friend. We understand God knows where we are, what we are, who we are, what we've been into, who we've been with, the things we've done. It's all before His eyes. And if you're lost without God today, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life by way of conviction, He reveals unto you your sin and makes you naked before God. He opens your eyes, lets you see your nakedness, understand your condemnation, realize the judgment of God, and that's when you can be saved.
Sin makes a man naked. It exposes us. The reason why a man is subject to the judgment of God is because he sinned and disobeyed his God. He's offended God. He's brought the wrath of the Almighty upon himself. And that all is sin. The wage of sin is death. And that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. Well, lest it continue to bring forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. And so sin makes a man naked and exposes him.
It'll expose, my friend, it'll expose your weaknesses. It'll expose your shortcomings. It'll expose your failures and your frailties. Sin will show you how little you are, not how big you are. They tell you when you're kids, you know, if you'll suck your cigarette and if you'll drink that liquor, my friend, it'll show you how big you are. It'll make you seem like a grown-up man. Ain't it cool? That kind of stuff doesn't make you look cool. That doesn't show how big you are. It shows how small you are. It shows how frail you are. It shows how foolish you are. I'm telling you, it does not make you look big and cool. I'll tell you what it'll do. You want to know how sin will make you look? Go see the end of the thing. I'll see what the liquor does when it gets done. Amen. I'll see my friend with my friend venereal disease. It does when it gets done with you. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, fornication and adultery has left a trail of frailty and sickness. And my friend, difficulties in its path. Amen. I want to say, friend, sin will expose you just how small you are, how weak you are, how much you need God.
Don't believe sin will leave you weak? Travel with me. Let's go on down there. Go on down there with us on Friday and Saturday nights down to the jailhouses and watch them fellas. My friend that's just recently been put in them places while they sit there and bite their fingernails. And my friend fumble through their papers because they're still coming off their dope after getting put in prisons. I mean, watch those guys as they sit there, some of them completely out of their minds. So like an open road map to the United States of America where, my friend, they've been on sin and so much sin and wickedness in their lives. And their brains just completely gone. Don't have enough sense to find their own way back to their cells. I mean, find out and see what sin will do to you. Go with us down there. Have my friend downtown Atlanta and watch the truckers as they sit on the gutter and throwing up in the down the curve in the storm drains and see what sin will do. Let's take a door down the door, divorce courts, and watch the little boys and girls as mom and dad walk out the back door and the boys and girls cry after mom and cry after dad and wonder why it is that their home is divided and split. I'll tell you, it's sin that's tearing us up in this generation. Sin will expose us. It'll make us naked. Amen.
Sin made a man. It made him naked. Brother David, it made him naughty. Sin made man naughty, made him wicked. It gave him a nature that lusted after sin. It's like a dog. You got your good dog, oh yeah. fellow said, I got me a good dog. I know he's a cross between a pit bull, a Rottweiler, and a German shepherd, and has got a legion of demons living in him, but he's a good dog. That's what Rottweiler is. You know that, don't you? That's German for demon possessed. Oh, Lord. Them rascals, meaners. I'm telling you, a meaner striped snake. And my daddy said twice as ugly. Amen. I'm telling you. And you say, I got me a good dog. He won't bite. He won't hurt anybody. That might be so now. But you let him get one drop of blood. You let him get a taste of blood in his mouth. And the son, he'll go crazy is what he'll do. I'll tell you, that's the way the flesh is. It's the same way. I'm a dad pretty good. I'm a good old boy. That might be so now, but just a taste of the world, just a taste of sin, just a taste of the things that the devil has to offer, and that old rage and sin nature, that a damning nature that's in this old flesh will come out in us, and you'll find yourself doing things you never dreamed you'd ever do. That old flesh, man, it's got a wicked nature. Oh, no, men are not naturally good. They're naturally wicked. Sin made mankind rebellious. I mean, we're all a bunch of rebels at heart. Every one of us. The flesh is at enmity with God. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We have a sinful nature. And so sin made a man. It made him naked. It made him naughty. I want to say it made him natural. As Satan promised him he'd be like God if he'd eat of the fruit. And he did come to understand some new things. But with all the knowledge he gained, he lost his knowledge of God. Amen. It made him natural. Before he had a knowledge of God and not the knowledge of sin. After he eats the fruit, he has a knowledge of sin and not the knowledge of God. Are you listening to what I'm preaching, friend? And since then, we've all been in the same vein as Adam. We have the knowledge of sin, but unless God intervenes, we do not have the knowledge of God. Amen. That's right. And friend, it makes man natural. I mean, he lost his knowledge and his relationship with God. He understood sin, but he did not understand the work of the mind of God. As sin makes us foolish, we become ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Sin makes us carnal. Sin makes us sensual. And sin makes us devilish. As sin makes a man, it makes him in trouble. And my friend, makes him into a place where he's under the judgment of God. And so the sovereign made a man. Secondly, sin made a man. I want to say thirdly, salvation makes a man. Salvation makes a man. I preached when I was but a teenager and it was exactly right. God formed a man. Sin deformed man. And only Christ can transform him. God formed him. Sin deformed him. And only Christ can transform him. And that's right. Man, thank God. Sin has made us naughty. It's made us naked. It's made us natural. But I'm glad there's a cure for sin. And the judgment of God in this generation. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Woo! Salvation makes a man. Salvation makes a man and it makes him new. I'm telling you, Galatians 3, 9 and 10 says, yeah, I put off the old man with his deeds and I put on the new man which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 said, put off concerning the former knowledge, a former conversation of the old man which is corrupt according to his deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 said, for by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Salvation made us new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew. I'm glad I'm new. new in Christ Jesus. Yes, it's different now. Oh, so different now. I said I wouldn't tell it, but I just gotta tell it. Hey, it makes me laugh and it makes me cry and sets my sinful soul on fire. I'm so glad I'm saved by the grace of God. It makes a man new. I'm not what I want to be, not what I'm going to be, but I am not what I used to be. Thank God for salvation that makes a man new.
Somebody say, I remember what you were before you got saved. Yeah, and I do too, but I'm glad he don't.
Woo! All that's washed under the blood. Amen. And he's made me new in Christ Jesus.
Now that you're new, preacher, I guess you don't never sin. I wish that was right. And I'm not proud of anything I've ever done that's wrong. I am proud of my new spirit. Thankful for my new spirit. God, when he makes a man new in salvation, he gives him a new spirit. And that new spirit comes with a new desire and a new longing. And that new longing says that though, my friend, I may have a flesh that lusts after the world, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And there is one within me that can overcome sin. And I don't desire for it the way that I did before I ever came to know the Lord. You see, when a man is made new in Christ, he's made new with a new outlook. You ever heard folks testify, maybe even testified yourself, the night you got saved, you got up and you looked around and looked like everybody just got saved? Ain't that right? How many of you just got here before you knelt? That old hypocrite on the pew looked so bad to you and so rough. And you said, I can't stand him. I hate him. When you got up from the altar, that was the first one whose neck you wanted to hug. And they didn't get saved. You did. They weren't any different before and after, but you were. It gives you a new outlook. I mean, it seemed like to me the birds sung different after I got saved than what they did before. I mean, the sun shone brighter. Why, the sun and the birds hadn't changed. Mom and dad and brothers and sisters and family members hadn't changed. But the change that had taken place in me gave me a new outlook on everything and everybody in the whole world. Ain't that right? Give you a new outlook. I'll say it'll give you a new inlook. Before, when I saw, or got saved, when I saw the man in the mirror, I was mighty disappointed. Hated the person that they were on the inside. Had come, and by the way, until you get to the place where you despise what sin is in you, you'll never get saved. Come to hate the person that was on the inside. Now I still got that same old flesh on the outside. But when I look into my own eyes in the mirror, I know there's something within me that's different than what there was 17 years ago. Thank God. Oh, it's different now. So different now. I got a new outlook. Thank God, in my own life, I expect more out of myself than what I did then. I mean, I'm not just turning over a new leaf, not just trying to avoid the judgment of God, not just trying to stay out of things that ought not to be into, but instead now I expect of myself more. I expect of myself to be productive in the things of God and to serve God and to walk with God and to do right for God, not out of fear of Him, but because I love Him. I want to keep His commandments. So it is with a man. If he's ever been saved, he's got a new inlook. I mean, it'll change your purpose for living. It'll change the reason why you do what you do when you do it. Amen. I mean, I want to know why you do what you do when you do it. I'm telling you, if you've ever been saved, it'll change the reasons you do what you do when you do the things that you do. Amen. I've got a new inlook and a new outlook. Thank God I've got a new spirit this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:16 said, know you not that you're the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you.
Galatians 4:6 says, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. 1 Corinthians 14 says, we must pray in the Spirit. We must sing in the Spirit. And we must bless or worship in the Spirit. As 2 Corinthians 5 and Ephesians 1 says, that we are told there that He has given us the earnest of the Holy Ghost. The earnest is a down payment, my friend. It means there's more to come. I want to tell you, every day that I live, I'm telling you, He gives one blessing after another, after another, after another. And it gets sweeter as the days go by. And it gets richer as the days go by. And I enjoy Him more each day I live for Him. I'm so glad I'm saved with a new spirit down the inside. Amen. Got a new spirit. Salvation makes a man. It makes him new. Gives him a new spirit. I want to say it gives him a new standing. Gives him a new standing. What does Psalm 40 say? I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. He gave me a new standing. Said He took me out of the miry clay and put my feet upon a rock. I'm so glad I got a new standing, aren't you? Salvation take a man from the mire and put him in the choir. Salvation will take a man off of dope and give him hope. Amen. Salvation will take a man from the hell holes of the world to the house of the worship of God. I mean, it gives us a new standing in life. Puts us on a solid rock. It gives us a new standing in life. It gives us a new standing with the Lord. A right standing with the Lord. We're standing on the promises of God. We're standing, my friend, in the grace of God. We're standing on the truth of the Lord. It gives us a new standing within life. A new standing with the Lord. A new standing in love. In love towards sinners. In love toward the Savior. In love towards the saints. I'm so glad I'm saved by the grace of God. And it makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Thank God. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. It makes a man new. So the sovereign made a man. Salvation makes a man. Salvation makes him new with a new spirit, a new standing. I'll say it makes him new with a new sight. Well, John 9:25, I believe he said right when the old boy had been healed from his blindness, said, this one thing I know, that where I was blind, that now I see. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet sounds, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I'm so glad He's opened up my blinded eyes. Thank God. I'm glad I know that I've been saved. And now He gave me a new sight. He gave me new standing. Gave me new spirit. He gave me a new song. He even praised. And our God, it said in Psalm 40:3, I'm not singing anymore about your cheating heart. I'm not interested in loving and leaving and tears in my beard and such foolishness as that. I'm so glad I'm a singing Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. I'm singing, thank God, the only fire I'll ever feel is a burning in my heart. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's fame. And every sinner plunged beneath the flood loses all their guilty stains. I've got a new song in my mouth, a song in my heart, a skip in my step. Hallelujah to His name. And salvation makes a man, and it makes him new. As God made man, and formed man, as sin deformed man, and Christ can transform him and make him new in the Lord. Well, sovereign made a man, sin made a man, salvation made a man. I want to say this morning, the Scripture makes a man. The Scripture makes a man. This Bible makes a man. What does it make him? Well, it makes him sure of his salvation. You kind of wobbling around on that? Are you sure you're saved this morning? You kind of wobbling around on that, not certain. You wouldn't shake your fist in the face of the devil and tell him you're saved. Amen. Ben Kelly said a man, if he'll read this Bible, get saved and read this Bible, he can be sure, so sure of his salvation that he can be like a bobtail cat spitting backer juice in the face of the devil like a bulldog. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, oh, if you just get saved and read this Bible, I mean, it's in the Word of God that you come sure of your salvation. Amen. Thank God. Now listen, how do you know you're saved? John 5:39 said, search the Scriptures, friend, then you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify me. That word think doesn't mean hope or think so or just maybe think so, but it means to learn. It's through the Scriptures. It's through the Word of God that you come to learn or to think or to process the understanding of what being saved really is and how that God's worked in your life. I could say it like this, a young unsaved, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I could say, Jesus saved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. I'm saved because the Scriptures teach me what it is to know God. I know I am saved because He promised He'd save me when I called by faith on His name under the influence of His Spirit, and God keeps every promise that He makes. He promised He'd save me under those conditions. I came under those conditions. I called on God and He fulfilled His promise and He saved me by His grace. Well, I feel like calling recess and just making a lap. Amen. I'm a telling you, friend, I'm glad I know I'm saved. These things are right unto you, said God. Little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to live on hope so, maybe so, think so. I want it to be so that you can live on know so. You can know you're saved. You can know you're going to heaven. You can know Jesus lives within your heart. Amen. Well, it makes a man sure of his salvation. The Scripture does. John 6:37, Jesus said, and all the Father shall give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast him out. I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me what it is to be saved. Oh, what is it? It's fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. I mean, friend, I know what it is to be saved. I know I'm saved because I've passed from death into life. You know you pass from death into life because you love the brethren. In 1 John 3:14, I've got evidence in my life that reminds me that I'm saved. I'm glad I've got a personal experience with Christ. I can take the devil back in the 25th of June in 1989 when God the Holy Ghost came by my way and birthed me in His family and confirmed with His Spirit in my heart that I know the Lord and my sin were forgiven. And ever since that day, I ain't done everything just right. But I'm glad there hadn't been 1 minute that I hadn't been saved. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. And you, my friend, can be sure that you're saved by the grace of God. Amen.
One old songwriter said it right. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. That's right. I'm glad I'm saved. Salvation makes a man new. The Scriptures makes a man, makes him sure of his salvation. It makes a man settled in sanctification. Now, sanctification is a word folks scared death of in this generation. But I want to tell you, there's two different kinds of sanctification that's taught in the Scriptures. One is positional. The other is practical. Positional sanctification. Now, to be sanctified means to be made holy. Or to be made righteous. Or more perfectly, to be made like Jesus. To be made like Him. Now, positionally, we are sanctified in Christ. If you've ever been saved, you're sanctified positionally. In other words, the Bible says that we are in Christ, and Christ is in us. Now, if He's perfect, and we're in Him, and He's perfect, and He's in us, then positionally, we are holy as He is holy. For He abides within us, and we abide within Him. Therefore, when God sees us, He doesn't see us. He sees His Son. Though we could not please Him, Brother Tom, He's pleased with His Son, and He abides in us. We abide in Him. Therefore, He's pleased with us because He's pleased with His Son. Everybody following that? A positional sanctification. So it says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We are sanctified in Christ. And we're being sanctified by the Spirit. In Christ, we have positional sanctification. By the Spirit, we have practical
physical sanctification. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean practically. I'm talking about this outward man. When Christ sees us, or when God sees us, He sees Christ, and we are perfect and holy. But when the world sees us, they see the outward man. They see the flesh. But through the workings of the Holy Ghost, that which is inward works its way outward. And thank God, the outer man comes to demonstrate Christ in our daily lifestyle. And we're made holy and blameless before the world. And teach them, my friend, the life that we are to lead in the things of God. In other words, you learn to live right.
One fellow said, I believe you've got to live right to get to heaven. Well, how right do you think that it is you've got to live? How right you've got to live? Well, I don't believe a man can sin. Well, which ones are you talking about? You watch that crowd, most of them ain't nothing sin to them, but just a couple of things. You know, them not reading your Bible, not praying, and maybe saying an ugly word now and again, that ain't sin. You got to drink liquor and cuss and beat your wife to sin, you know, run around with some floozy up and down the road to sin. I'm going to tell you something, you can't live right enough to get to heaven. If you could, Jesus died in vain. You're going to heaven because there's heaven in you. Because He's opened up your heart and Jesus came in. That's why you go to heaven. Because heaven's come to you, then you can go to heaven. Amen. But what is it then that you want to live right for if you're not living right to get to heaven? Why are you living right? Well, you're living right so as to show other folks how to get to heaven. I mean, if you're in as bad a shape as what they are, why is it in the world that they want to be like you are? Well, Brother John's been a drinking and a cussing and a beating his wife, kicking his dog, setting a cat on fire, shooting his neighbor's cows. I mean, he'll be stealing cows and cars by morning. I mean, just full of the devil. And I come over to his house, knock on his door and say, Brother John, I want you to come to church with me. He said, oh man, I don't need to go to church. I come on in the house. We sat down in the house. He says, you want a beer? I said, sure. And we sit down and drink a beer together and cuss, tell dirty jokes. You think I'm going to be able to get him in the house of God? There ain't no way. He's doing as well off as what I am anyhow. I have a problem he's got, I've got. Why does he need what I have? I'm as in a better shape as what he's in. If that's the case, what am I telling you? I'm saying in our lives we live right so the world can see the change that salvation has brought about in our lives and desire for what it is that resides within us. And by the way, I don't more believe a man can be saved. Amen. Thank God. And live like that, that I believe pigs are going to fly. Amen. If the God of the glory world moves inside of you, it will change you forever. It'll change you forever.
I had a fellow tell me, I've seen him, he said, I've seen him get saved and backslid in the same day. Well, I wouldn't no more put no confidence in that salvation. Right. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's right. Most folks won't care on how backslid they are all the time, just need to get saved.
Right. Right.
Amen. Always rededicate. Might as well just get redeemed. Just get born again by the grace of God, and it'll change your life. I mean, it'll make a new creature out of you. Why do we live right? Show somebody else how to get in. Try to be a witness to others. We live right because we love Him. Because we love sinners. Because we want to please Him. Because we want to be a blessing to others. That's why we live right. And we can only do that. Even a saved man, Brother John, a saved man couldn't live right by himself. All of you who's been saved for any length of time at all knows that, my Lord, if it wasn't for the help of the Holy Ghost, you'd be stealing cows and cars all over again by morning. Your life would be in a wreck. There's no way that you'd be able to live for God without the liver in you. You got to have a liver to live, ain't you? Without the liver in you, you can't live for God. I mean, friend, you can't live right. As a saved man, you got to have the indwelling Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm so glad when He saves us, He don't leave us off all by ourselves. He said, all right, now you find your way home. But I'm so glad He puts a compass within us through the Holy Spirit. And here we are, we're blessed to have a copy of the Word of God on top of all of that. I mean, to have these assistants and these tools to get us all the way to glory. And everybody that's ever been saved has got everything it takes to make it the last mile of the trip home. Amen. Plant our feet safely on the other shore. Brother David, I'm glad I'm going that way. He's a working in us. That salvation he worked in, now since it's been worked in, he's working it out. Amen. I mean, when you got redeemed, when you got, my friend, when it was that he justified you, he's working it in. But now that he's sanctified you, he's working it out. Amen. I'm so glad he's working on me, and he hadn't stopped, and he had to get up on me. Are you what you want to be? No. I'm not perfect, but I'm still pressing towards the mark. I still desire to be. And he's still helping me make it along the way. Amen. Amen. Makes you settled in sanctification. Well, I want to say the scripture makes a man shout in the second coming. Make a man shout in the second coming. I like shouting, man. I ain't scared of shouting. Thank God for old time shouting. Fellow said, oh, that's almighty shallow. Well, the Bible said that the church came in as a mystery, it's going out as a mystery, and when it goes out, it's going to come, go out because Jesus came back with a shout. Amen. And if shouting's deep enough for Jesus, it's deep enough for me. Amen. I like it, thank God. Matter of fact, those of you that don't much like shouting going to feel real out of place when you get to go to heaven. Amen. I'm going to tell you, thank God, the church came in as a mystery, going out as a mystery, and it's not going out silent. Thank God. The Lord himself are coming with a shout, or the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. You study and watch in heaven in the book of Revelation, not one place will you find the saints of God standing around saying nothing, but they're shouting and they're singing and their hands are in there and they're praising him. Why do we want to wait till we get there and start that? This is a time we ought to go ahead and rejoice. I mean, look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Heavens are getting nearer than ever day that we live. I'm too near home to turn back now. I'm going to shout my way home and shout when I get there. I mean, the scriptures will give a man hope that Jesus is coming again. And he's a coming for you and he's a coming for me. I'm thankful for it. I'm glad I'm shouting on the way. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? If you're not saved, you can't shout about the second coming. If your heart's not right with God, if you're harboring things you ought not to be, you can't shout about the second coming. I'm going to close in with this. Preaching about the making of a man, I'll say the Spirit makes a man. We've already established the Spirit of God dwells in the believer, and it's impossible for the Spirit of God of the universe to live inside of you and not make you new. The Spirit makes a man peaceful. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4:7 said, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, the Spirit of God makes a man peaceful. The Spirit of God makes a man pure. You'll have a desire to do that which is right. You may not always do right, but you'll have a desire to do right. Can't be satisfied with sin. Furthermore, you can overcome sin. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Galatians 5:16, you say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15:57 said there, my friend, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in defeat. You can have victory. You can be an overcomer in this world. Spirit makes a man peaceful, makes him pure. I'll say the Spirit makes a man praise. You know how come you can't worship God? You ain't got no Spirit in you. How come it is you can't get in the glory? You ain't got no Spirit in you. When the Spirit of God moves in and you'll let him work in your life and you won't resist his workings and quench not the Spirit, you can praise him. Matter of fact, you'll have a hard time not praising him. Ephesians 5:17, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. If you've got the Spirit of God in you, you'll want to praise him. You'll want to praise him. And we sang it right. I just can't praise him enough. I just can't thank him enough. I want to ask you this morning, are you really saved? Are you really saved? Have you ever been made new? Are you sure that the God of glory lives inside of your heart? If not, why don't you come do business with God today? Let him touch your life and save you by grace. And you can leave happy that you've done what God told you to do and been obedient to the Lord. It's something in your life you've wrestled with. Come on, piano, if you will. I'm done. It's something in your life that you've wrestled with, you don't know what to do with, you've battled with.
Somebody said, oh, preacher, I can't quit all that smoking, drinking, cussing, all that other stuff. I've heard preachers say all over the place, why don't you just give it to God? God don't want your liquor. He's not going to smoke your cigarettes for you. No need to give it to God. Lay it aside. Give it up. It's hard. It ain't supposed to be easy. Sin's always been hard to get rid of. May take some time. May take some battles. But what I'm telling you is quit letting the devil treat you like a red-headed stepyoungin. You don't have to live in defeat. You have the power within you to do whatever God wants you to do and to be found an overcomer at it. You don't have to live with your head hung low. You don't have to let those things get the better of you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Will you fight it? Sure. Will it fight back? Yes. But you've got God walking by your side. And you can overcome. And if you'll trust Him, lean on Him, you will. You may not win every battle, but you'll win the war if you'll just trust Jesus. Maybe there's something you need to do business with God about. I want you to be obedient in that this morning. Would you stand? You need to come. You need to come pray. Would you come? That's right. Come on, do business with God. Are you washed? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? Would you come? Oh, we can work in your life and change you for time and eternity. Are you washed? God bless everybody that's praying. Help them that need to come, Lord.